Seriously, where would we be without my dumb questions?
Oh, in this river that I've been washing my hands in forever.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So I'm not going to discourage you from asking any dumb questions. I'm just going to point them out when you make them.
This Adele song is my... Now, Bergman, have you been riding your Peloton?
I did. I went on it yesterday.
So my cool-down song right now is this song, Go Easy on Me. That's my cool-down song, and now it's totally stuck in my head.
Laura's singing back here.
Everywhere.
You can't see it, but Laura's like full on singing in the
studio.
Is
she full on singing?
Yeah. I mean, it's quiet. She doesn't want me to hear it, but she is full on singing right now.
All right. So I promised, before we get to Marcellus Wiley, I promised we would talk about this Sopranos thing. So David Chase, who's the creator of The Sopranos, and I'm a huge Sopranos fan. I watched it more recently than you guys did. I watched it during the pandemic. So it's still really, really fresh in my mind. And I'm also reading right now a book called The Definitive History of The Sopranos, Woke Up This Morning, by Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarippa. David Chase came out and said this about The Sopranos. He said, I saw a little restaurant. It was kind of a little shack that served breakfast. And for some reason, I thought Tony should get it in a place like that. Why? I don't know. So the great ending of The Sopranos, the ending that really divided people, was basically Carmelo and AJ and Tony sitting in this sort of diner-y-looking place and Meadow trying to park her car and ultimately reaches out, grabs the door, and starts to open it, and it goes black. It goes black. Now, I have always believed that Tony Soprano did not get killed in that scene. David Chase is seeming to suggest that he did. And I would rather think that he did not. What do you think, John?
I've always thought it was ambiguous. But now that David Chase has admitted it, he made every decision about that series. Why would I doubt the creator of the show?
Well, because he didn't put it in the show, right? In other words, my point, I guess, would be I choose to... Whether he intended it or not, he didn't put it in the show. So I choose to believe that Tony just had a nice dinner with Carmelo and AJ and Meadow. I don't want to think about Tony face down in his linguine.
Well, that was his point, that he didn't think he needed to kill him for you to make your own conclusions. I don't think he has a problem with you making your own conclusions. I remember when it happened, I thought my cable went out.
Yeah, it just went black.
Yeah. But... I think that as a fan of the show, if that's the way you want to interpret it, that Tony is still out there, more power to you. But it seems like David Chase's intention was for him to be dead in that restaurant.
So do you remember the episode from season one where he takes Meadow to the different colleges?
Sure.
And remember somebody, what happens?
Yeah, somebody shows up there that they were looking for, and and
somebody in witness
protection. Chris takes care of him, yeah.
And he kills him with his bare hands. I was reading this book, and David Chase says, didn't know if he could get away with it. Like, would you root for a guy who you saw kill somebody in such a grisly, awful way? And by the way, it took a long time for him to choke that guy out with a chain. Would you then wind up rooting for that guy? And somehow, I think we all did. Like, didn't we all love Tony Soprano no matter what he did?
Here's the weird thing about that show. In any show, you have to ask the question, who am I rooting for? Like, I love Succession.
Yes.
But there isn't really anyone on that show I'm necessarily rooting for. I'm rooting for chaos.
Yes.
Like, I'd love to see Roman take over the family because I think it
Me
would
too.
Send the family into chaos.
He's the funniest one. Roman is the funniest one.
I was golfing with some guys today. We were talking about the second season of The Morning Show. I don't know. Have you been watching
it? Yeah, I
it?
Have. Yeah, I just saw
who,
a huge...
Who
don't
are you
spoil it.
Yeah. Who are you rooting for? Is there anybody?
I think...
One of the great amazing things about The Sopranos was, for whatever reason, even though these guys were all... mafia killers.
Yep.
He made those guys endearing. He made you want to root for Polly Walnuts and Silvio Dante and Tony Soprano and Meadow
Michael
and
Imperioli,
AJ.
Yeah, all those guys.
Yeah, Marco Imperioli, Christopher Molisanti was just a bad guy, any way you look at it. But You rooted for him. So Bobby Bacala, basically just a bag man, just a guy who went out and killed
people.
Well,
you know what's interesting about it, though? I think the reason why people dig movies about Cosa Nostra, Mafia, however you want to describe it, from The Godfather on, I think that the reason we are cool with it is that they live by a certain code. Like, you only die if you do something really, really bad. No innocent people don't get killed on those shows. Nobody innocent got killed in The Godfather. Somebody, it's always somebody who broke the code. And so I think we've come to respect that code. You don't want to be a snitch. You don't want to be, you know, the guy that gets out of line with the family. You don't want to be the guy who whacks the wrong guy, all that stuff. I think it's because they live with a code that makes it okay that they're doing it. Even that grisly murder in, I think it was episode 5 of season 1 when Meadow's going to different colleges. Well, it's because that guy was a snitch who then went into witness protection. And so, according to the code, he deserved to die. So they have rules, very specific rules, and I think they sort of apply in our life. We're not going to kill anybody, right?
Right.
But we don't like snitches.
That's why we rooted for him on The Sopranos?
Yeah, because they had rules, right?
Yeah, it's weird, though. Why do we like Succession? Because we're not rooting for anybody there, are we?
I'm rooting for everybody and against everybody.
Yeah,
I just want to see him mix it up.
It's a weird show. It kind of changed the rules.
Yeah, Bergman, you're watching Succession. Is there anybody you root for?
No, they're all bad people. I just finished Sopranos just a couple months ago, and it was also, you rooted for them, but they're all awful, awful people. Like, Tony Soprano was a bad dude.
Right.
Even
one of the amazing things about that show was that we all watched and rooted for all the bad guys.
Right. And even, I was reading about this, even like Carmella, if you think about Carmella, played by Edie Falco, originally, by the way, supposed to be played by Lorraine Bracco, who ended up playing Dr. Melfi. But Carmella doesn't ever do anything bad, but she knows her husband is out doing bad things, and she enjoys the life, and so she ignores it, right? So even she, even though she never whacks anybody, even she is a bad person on that show.
She tried. She wanted to with the with the guy from Italy.
That's right. That's Furio.
Yeah, Furio, yeah. She was expecting him to come over and have – and then there was also the contractor who didn't show up. She tried.
Oh, that's right. Another
one. She tried
a
couple times.
Yeah. All right, so I wanted to get to this Marcellus Wiley thing. So Calvin Ridley is a wide receiver who has stepped away from the football season for mental health reasons. And I wanted to play what Marcellus Wiley on apparently he's on the air somewhere. I don't know exactly where
he's on Fox Sports 1. He's on a show with Emmanuel Acho. I can't remember what the name of the show is, but he's on every day just basically doing what he used to do for us, giving opinions.
Okay. So here he is.
Oh, we should say, for people who don't know, Marcellus played in the NFL, grew up in Los Angeles, went to Columbia, played in the NFL, and then went into the media, hosted a show with us for years on 710 ESPN, and now he's on at Fox. So he's coming from a complete NFL football background.
Right. Here is what he said about Calvin Ridley and mental health issues.
These guys got too many things going on in them and coming to them, and then all of a sudden want to complain about it when they don't want to do the work, the master work.
Okay.
To make sure that they're okay and having a pure harmonic sound. My last point is this. I look at everybody out there and I'm like, yo, we talking football, so let's stick in our vacuum. Football's built on Darwinism, dog. Survival of the fittest. I'm sorry, it's not arrival of the weakest. Like, it's survival of the fittest. If you can't play football physically, get your ass out of here. If you can't play football mentally, mm-hmm. Like, that's where you're talking to. But this whole new world where I can't even play, I can warm up and now I can't play because I was on Twitter. Hey, that means you don't want to play football instead of like one more step. I like the NFL the way it is, but I get it.
So he's suggesting that what's going on with Calvin Ridley is that he is.
And did we explain that Calvin Ridley has taken a leave for mental health reasons?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we did. That there is a lack of toughness, that football is a tough game physically, it's a tough game mentally, either play or get out, is basically Marcellus's opinion.
Correct.
Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, I think it is.
So, you know, and I earlier in that piece, he talks about, you know, you see an injury and you're like, ouch, I want to see what the injury looks like when it's a mental health issue. Well, mental health is different in that way. You know, I have dealt with mental health issues. I've talked about it on the show. I've diagnosed bipolar 1 a long time ago, and I, you know, have a psychiatrist and a psychologist and always trying to keep on the rails. Mental health issues sometimes don't have anything to do with the situation you're in. Like, for example, when I go downhill, it's not necessarily because everything could be going great. It could be like fantastic career-wise and personal and all that stuff, and I still go downhill, or I still wind up with a level of anxiety that's uncomfortable. I think that's what Marcellus is missing here, is that it's not necessarily specific to being a football player, specific to, he seems to be suggesting, Twitter is part of it. Sometimes you don't have control, if you're dealing with mental health issues, over how you're feeling, over depression, over anxiety. Those are real things. So I'm glad that people like Calvin Ridley and Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles and all these professional athletes that we've seen come out and talk about it. I'm glad that they're talking about it, and I'm glad that they're doing what they can to take care of themselves.
We played about a minute of that. He actually talked on this subject for about 5 minutes.
Yes, he did.
And so I think the heart of his point was that, and we could call ourselves, I don't know if he'd come on, but we could,
he's told me before he won't come on.
Okay, so.
I'll text him.
The heart of his point, the way I interpreted it was, look, we've got to get past this. If you play the I'm checking out for mental health reasons, then we just have to accept it and be sympathetic and let you go and let you take the time you need to get it better. He said we would never do that with a physical injury. If you pulled your hamstring, we would get the doctors and get the trainers and get everybody working on your hamstring. If you have mental health issues, he's not against you getting the help you need. But he's not accepting of the, I have mental health issues, I'm out. He wants to know what you're doing to make yourself better. How can we help you? How can we get on it? He doesn't think mental health issues should be a catch-all for, I don't want to play, I need mental health time. Like, I think Ben Simmons, a lot of people are looking at that going, huh, he says he wants to leave for mental health. But he already said he doesn't want to be there under any condition. Is he using the mental health umbrella to try and get away with something else? You know what I mean? Only Ben Simmons knows. So whether or not
Has Ben Simmons talked about the? I mean, he's got conflict. Has he talked about mental health issues?
Yes, he took a leave of absence for mental health reasons, and when the Sixers offered him mental health professionals, he declined.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not seeing mental health professionals on his own.
Correct. As a matter of fact, that's what he said he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, like, if ESPN came to me and said, see this doctor, I'd be like, no, I already got my own doctors. I don't
but
know.
But I think what Marcellus would say is Mason's either in or he's out. If he needs time to step away for mental health reasons, that's fine, but he's out. And we've got to deal with
what does out mean?
Yeah, that we've
in other words, Calvin Ridley is stepping away for mental health reasons. What does out mean?
Out means we've got to do what we need to do and replace you. Now, whether that's temporarily or permanently probably depends on the replacement. But I think the heart of Marcellus's point was just because you say you have mental health issues doesn't give you a free pass to come and go whenever you want. We want to try and help you. We want to try and be understanding. But the bottom line is I'm running a business and football's a business and you're either available or you're not. And I saw what he was talking about. Like, Calvin Ridley is no longer available, so the Falcons have to deal with that. It doesn't necessarily mean he's unsympathetic to Calvin Ridley, but he says it's just like if you say you've got a bad knee and you can't play, okay, then we got to replace you.
But why is a mental health issue different than a physical issue?
To him, it's not. To Marcellus, it's not. Because the end result is you're unavailable. Do you see that, the point he's trying to make
right,
there?
Right, but he seems okay with being out for physical reasons, but not okay with being out for mental health.
The way I interpreted that was he's if you're out, you're out. If you're out for physical reasons, you couldn't hack it. We're going to replace you. If you're out for mental reasons, you couldn't hack it. We're going to replace you. He's not interested in the reason. He's interested in the result. And I see his point there. Maybe it's a little unsympathetic, but I think his point is, look, we can't use mental health as a catch-all for I don't want to go to work. And I don't think I think people like you've talked openly about taking mental health days. And
yes,
when you're hurting, you don't go to work. I don't think anyone's questioning if you did it every single week, people would question you.
Sure.
But
sure.
You don't. And so I think Marcellus's point is, look, you were fine 3 weeks ago. And now you're saying you're not fine. Okay, we'll try and help you, but we've got to treat this like we can't count on you.
It should be treated as injury.
Right. I think Marcellus is okay with that, but his point is I'm not going to be any different. I'm not going to have a different level of sympathy for mental health than I do for physical. If you're not available, you're not available. Get out of my training room. Go get the help you need, and we're going to get somebody in here who can play wide receiver.
Yeah, I felt like, and I texted him, I haven't heard back yet, but I felt like he was sort of dissing or disregarding Calvin Ridley's reasons for stepping away. And by the way, you could put him on injured reserve if you wanted to. He's not coming back this year.
He's not coming back this year?
No, he's done for the year.
He did that to himself for the Falcons?
Yes, he did that to himself.
Yeah, so I think Marcellus's point would be, okay, then we can't count on him anymore. Let's go look for a free agent or get somebody who can play wide receiver because this guy is not reliable.
Yeah.
Say with Odell Beckham, you know, for whatever reason, he's not reliable right now. So the Browns just said, all right, don't come to practice.
This is kind of interesting. I want to know how people think about this whole mental health thing. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Ridley's statement was, I guess he didn't count himself out for the year. He said, these past few weeks have been very challenging, and as much as I'd like to be on the field competing with my teammates, I need to step away from football at this time and focus on my mental well-being. This will help me be the best version of myself now and in the future. I want to thank my teammates, the entire Atlanta Falcons organization, our great fans, my friends, and my family for all their support during this time. So he stepped away. I guess it's not permanently necessarily. There's a possibility he comes back this season, but he's gone now. He has 31 catches for 281 yards and 2 touchdowns as he steps away. We'll do that. Also, lie. At some point, I'm telling a lie today. And I will tell you right now, I have not told it yet.
Okay.
At some point, I will tell a lie. If you can figure it out, and then be ready to call in at 3:30, you will win. It's Lakers Ticket Thursday, so you win a pair of tickets to see Lakers Charlotte Monday night at Staples Center, along with a $50 Wingstop gift card and a Vote for Jorge t-shirt. So last Vote for Jorge. It is one of one. So all that stuff, if you know the lie, at 3:30 today. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you feel like I get picked on an inordinate amount on this show? Like, more than anybody else, I get picked on.
Probably.
What? Come on now.
But you probably deserve it.
Yeah. No.
Wait a minute.
No.
Why? Well, Laura, you don't agree that he gets picked on the most?
No, it's Greg. Every show Greg's on, that's who gets picked on.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds about right.
I mean, Kaplan kind of takes it now, but
yeah,
it's really you.
Kaplan definitely takes an L. Kaplan gets picked on like crazy. I've heard your show. Kaplan gets picked on like crazy.
Morales picks on you more than anyone else.
Yeah, Morales definitely gives it to me. Laura is filling in for Jorge today and doing a fantastic job. She's going to do what else you need to know coming up a little bit later in the show. She does What You Need to Know on the afternoons with Kaplan and Sedano.
All right, so, mental health story, and basically Marcellus Wiley came out on his TV show and said, hey, look, mental health is no different than physical. If you can't play, you can't cut it. And if you're saying that mental health is keeping you from doing your job, then move on.
Wait a minute, do you think he's saying that, or do you think he's saying they're two different things? Because my attitude is, pulling a hamstring is like having acute depression or anxiety. They're exactly the same.
Yeah, and I think his point is
that guy can't cut it.
Right, that he would treat them exactly the same. And he said for whatever reason, mental health, people tend to not question it, to give the person a free pass and go, okay, blah, blah, blah. Marcellus is saying, look, if you come to me and you say, I have a bad hamstring, I can't play. We get a replacement and we're sympathetic towards that, and then we help you get your hamstring better. But if I come to you and say, I'm having anxiety and depression, I'm not in the right place, I can't play, Marcellus's point is, well, then we've got to replace you too.
Right. Well, that's my position. I mean, then that's my position. I think a pulled hamstring should be treated exactly the same as acute depression. I think Calvin Ridley, is he having a hard time? If he's having depression, if he's having anxiety, whatever that is, it's the same as pulling a quad. I mean, they're the same thing. Injury is injury, whether it's mental health or it's physical. I think what Marcellus was saying, the way I interpreted was Calvin Ridley should be able to play through that he's not mentally tough.
And if he can't play through it, then he can't cut it. And I think that's the point that Marcellus thinks other people are afraid to say, and he's willing to say it. Here's Jeff in Rancho Cucamonga. Hey, Jeff, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys, this is Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
I just
sure.
wanted to weigh in on a couple things. I agree with Steve. I lost my coaching job in 2017 due to a mental health issue. I have a mental health diagnosis. And what happened was I was ejected from a game at Santa Ana College. And I had to leave. I didn't have my medication that was prescribed.
Jeff, what sport were you coaching?
Baseball.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So anyway, I got put on paid administrative leave for that, and went through an investigation after having a diagnosis, mm-hmm. and they removed me as the head coach, and I kept my professor job. I'm still a professor there. But so what Steve is saying, you know, I agree that, you know, you can be going down the road and everything can be just fine, but there are triggers, and
yep.
there are triggers come up and affect people in different ways. And I've also had work-related injuries where I broke my elbow. I got hit with a foul ball in a game. That was accommodated, but that was a physical injury. Excuse me. So when I went ahead and filed the claim for emotional distress, my claim was denied and I was not accommodated.
Interesting.
So with these professional athletes, it really comes down to the team to see if their employer wants to accommodate them and if they do want to go through that type of process. So currently I'm still going through it. That's about all I can talk about.
Yeah,
I just wanted to weigh in.
Thanks, Jeff.
And it sounds like Jeff has a diagnosis from a psychiatrist, and he was removed from his coaching job because he didn't have his medication on a particular day, and he was ejected from a game. I mean, that all makes sense to me. I just think that mental health issues, whether it's acute anxiety, acute depression, situational depression, whatever that is, I think it should be treated the same as a physical injury. And I don't think it is. I think people are looking at professional athletes who say these things. And by the way, in the great scheme of things, it's not like they're not like every professional athlete is not doing this. Right? Like, this is the only particular situation I know about in the NFL where somebody has stepped away because of mental health issues. Do you know of any other?
I don't think so. And then I guess in the NBA, you could apply Simmons and Kyrie to it.
And Kyrie.
Right?
Yeah. So out of an entire league, there's two guys. In an entire league, there's one guy. It's not like everybody is using this as an excuse. I think it should be taken seriously and legitimately and be treated like an injury. Laura, you had a take on this. No, didn't.
Thought oh, sorry. I apologize,
you had a,
guys.
You had a take on this.
Yeah, so I was saying that I felt he was really brave because unfortunately, like, I'm Mexican, right? No shock, shocker. In our communities, we deemed it like, oh, you're not tough enough. But
right.
it's not like that. It's just my parents always are like, you got to push through. It's because they couldn't take that time off. It was not something we could do, you know? So I commend him for doing it because he's taking care of himself. You got to take care of you to be able to take care of anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too often it's viewed as a sign of weakness. You know, my dad's generation, older people view this as weakness. It's like, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get out there like I did. You know, the world has changed. We've become more sensitive.
Well,
to these
isn't
issues.
That Marcellus's point, though? It's mental weakness. And as far as the team is concerned, it's equal to physical weakness. That it doesn't matter if it's mental or physical. Weakness is a weakness. And if you can't perform, then we've got to replace
right,
you.
Right. But we keep agreeing on the same thing. I think that's exactly right. I mean, in other words, Calvin Ridley should be put on injured reserve if he's not going to be back for a while.
Are you sure that he hasn't been?
To the best of my knowledge, he hasn't been. I mean, okay. I've not read down deep in this. I just read the statement that he made
gotcha.
A couple of minutes ago.
Okay.
But it should be treated the same. I mean, and unfortunately, we live in a culture that views mental health crisis as just weakness. And too many people aren't in a position where they can say, you know what, I need a day off because I'm feeling this. I got the world on my shoulders. I am unbelievably depressed. I have acute anxiety. Most people don't have the opportunity to do that because they're expected by their employers to be there every day unless they are physically ill. I would argue that mentally ill is just as valid a reason for taking a day off.
All right, coming up, the NBA has just issued a statement about the ESPN report regarding Robert Sarver and the Phoenix
okay.
Suns. So the NBA has set a course of action, and we'll tell you what that is coming up.
All right, cool. Also, jump balls coming up at 2:45 and lie of the day. Big prize today. It is a Lakers ticket Thursday, so it's a pair of tickets to see Lakers versus Charlotte on Monday night at Staples Center, a $50 gift card to Wingstop, and a Vote for Jorge t-shirt.
Cheater.
There you go. Vote for Jorge. There's Maite. We'll do that at 3:30 today if you know the lie. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That is Maluma, hand-selected by Laura, who's filling in as associate producer for Jorge today. Erica Thomas tweets this. Steve, I think you and Marcellus Wiley are saying the same thing. I think you're misinterpreting his take. You know what? I actually have come to believe after this conversation that Marcellus and I are saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
that mental health issues should be interpreted the same way as physical injuries.
Wait, but you are, I think you're being more sympathetic to the player, and Marcellus is pointing out that to the team, it doesn't make a difference. That Marcellus's point, if I interpret it correctly, was, look, if you're hurt, you're hurt, and I can't use you. So just like if a player can't go because he keeps pulling his hamstring.
Right.
All right? You know, we all know there's players on every team that can't stay healthy.
Sure.
For whatever reason. You know, in all sports. You know, like, for whatever reason, you can't keep that guy healthy. And so if that person continues to be unavailable, like, I'll use Kyrie for an example.
Yeah, yeah.
If Kyrie was physically injured and he's unavailable, in the eyes of Marcellus, if he's saying, I have mental issues I have to work through, well, you're still unavailable.
Correct.
In other words, so I think you're arguing make the same exemptions you would for a physical injury, for a mental injury, and so is Marcellus. That's where your guys' point's the same. But Marcellus's point is, look, I'm not going to give you any more leniency because you have a mental health issue than I would if you have a physical health issue. If you're not available to me, you're not available, period. I don't care if it's a pulled hamstring or if you're going through depression, I can't use you. So
right.
Don't expect me to be more sympathetic to Calvin Ridley than I would be to some guy with a sprained ankle. I'm not. And so I think that was his point.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, in a
I don't think you're actually arguing against it.
No,
I think
we're agreeing sort of coming from different directions.
Right, but you want people to be more sympathetic to people with mental health issues. I think Marcellus wants it to, I think he thinks it's swung the other way, that if somebody has a mental health issue, we're all like, okay, well, go get yourself right, and then we'll welcome you back at any point and come on back.
What's the difference between go get yourself right and go get yourself rehabbed?
To him, nothing.
With your injury.
To Marcellus, absolutely nothing. But he's saying if the doctors with a physical injury say, hey, you're 100%, you're ready to go, we should be able to ask the same questions with mental health issues. Like, hey, when are you going to be 100% and ready to go?
Yeah, we weirdly agree. It's just he's less sympathetic about
Correct.
It.
That's the whole, that's it right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we covered this at the top of the show when Clinton Yates was with us. There is a blockbuster story on the front page of ESPN.com today. It is written by Baxter Holmes. It outlines, he interviewed more than 70 people in the Phoenix Suns organization, all who have accused owner Robert Sarver of creating a hostile workplace and using the N-word openly multiple times. And Sarver denies all of it, says he has never used the word, says it's not in his vocabulary. And Mace, he's not just saying, well, I may have gotten mad and used it. He's like, I just don't say it.
Right.
I'm not saying it. And Baxter has several people saying, not, and including Earl Watson, his former head coach. And I've covered Earl since he was a freshman at UCLA throughout his NBA career. Once he made it to the NBA coach, I think Earl's a stand-up guy. I personally, based on my experience, don't think Earl's making anything up.
Well, and Earl's story may be the most damning in the entire piece, which is Robert Sarver allegedly using the N-word, Earl Watson saying you can't say that, he's Robert Sarver saying, why can't I use the N-word, actually using the word. And that's Earl Watson I saw on SportsCenter today talking about that. And again, the interesting thing, John, is that it's not just like one person coming out and saying Robert Sarver, bad guy. It's 70 people. Current and former employees saying essentially the same thing, including, by the way, as Clinton pointed out, co-owners of the team, minority owners of the team saying, this is what I saw, this is what I heard, this is how it goes in this organization. That's why I think the NBA is not going to be able to punt on this.
Okay.
There are too many people saying the same thing.
You took me where I wanted to go. The NBA has just issued a statement in the last 20 minutes about this article. Here's the exact statement from the league. Quote, the allegations contained in today's ESPN article are extremely serious, and we have directed the Wachtell Lipton law firm to commence a comprehensive investigation. The NBA and WNBA remain committed to providing a respectful and inclusive workplace for all employees. Once the investigation is completed, its findings will provide the basis for any league action. End quote. Now, Mace, this is exactly what the NFL did with the Washington football team.
Right.
They convinced an investigation. Dan Snyder, you were adamant when they first made that announcement that Dan Snyder would never survive it.
Correct.
I, from the beginning, said not only will he survive it, but everybody around him will go down before he does. Dan Snyder is still standing. Him and his wife still own the team as the majority owners.
Well, his wife is technically, and by the way, this is such a cop-out, his wife is technically running the organization, allegedly running the organization. Yeah.
So my history as somebody that's had a career in sports is that this will probably go that way because there's no smoking gun here. There's no Donald Sterling audio
tapes.
But
it's not just like one guy saying, I heard him say that. It's 70 people saying the same thing.
But Clinton, who's been around this and who lived in D.C. when that whole Washington football team story was going down, Clinton thinks there's too much material here for Sarver not to face a big punishment, if not a removal. Mace, what do you think?
I agree with Clinton on this particular case. If this was just a guy saying, I heard Sarver say this, it would be a different scenario. The piece that Baxter Holmes wrote, he interviewed 70 people who basically corroborated the fact that Robert Sarver is a bad guy. It's a hostile workplace, misogynistic, sexist, racial stuff going on there. 70 people. It's hard to argue with 70 people. It's not he said, she said. It is he said, 70 people said.
Right. And if this investigation is legit, that the NBA convinced today, and they go and talk to these 70 people. And by the way, we should add, because we work at ESPN, we know some stuff. This story has been ready for a while.
Yeah, they've been working on it.
They held it because they vetted it through legal again and again and again and again. In other words, if Baxter wrote something that is factually incorrect and could lead to a lawsuit, the lawyers told ESPN, you're good to print this on right. ESPN.com. So they have vetted this through legal and are confident that they've got this story right. The skeptic in me says, because there's no smoking gun, like, and Mace, I think part of it is, and you and I have talked about this on the show before, Donald Sterling was a racist bad guy for 30 years before he got brought down.
We said, did nothing about it.
And we all knew it in the media. And we all talked about it, but we didn't beat the drum very loud. We just said, oh, that's Sterling. Everybody knows he's a bad guy. He's a racist slumlord, bad dude, you know, whatever. And he was allowed to continue. The difference now might be that we live in an era of social media. The players have a louder voice than they did before.
And we live in an era where stuff like this isn't tolerated anymore.
Right. But what's interesting is the general manager of the Suns, James Jones, is black. The head coach of the Suns, Monty Williams, is black. The leader of the team, the highest paid player and the team captain, Chris Paul, is black and one of the most connected and involved players in the NBA, former president of the NBA Players Union.
Right, and the owner has allegedly used the N-word multiple times.
So, and by the way, they started doing damage control, the Suns, 2 weeks before today, before the article came out. They issued a statement in which they put James Jones front and center. He said, this is not the Robert Sarver I know. Monty Williams said, he's never talked to me like that. So the guys who are getting paid by Sarver are lining up behind him so far. But if Chris Paul and the players go the other way, then this thing changes. So it's worth watching what happens now. By the way, Suns on ESPN tonight at 7 o'clock. So this story is going to continue throughout the day. And it appears to me that Robert Sarver may survive it, but maybe not.
Yeah, I think it's flip a coin. I still think if the rest of those emails came out in the Snyder investigation that he would be done.
But well, you know, Snyder doesn't use email.
Why did the Gruden stuff come out and nothing else came out?
Right. But I'm just saying Dan Snyder, maybe smartly, doesn't have an email account.
Yeah, it doesn't mean other people didn't document his behavior.
Right, right.
In writing.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what the other thing is, you know, they'll go through documents and all that stuff.
The NBA investigation goes that road, you're right. Maybe that's the smoking gun somewhere in that world of others discussing his behavior.
All right, coming up next for you. Hey, Bergman.
Yes?
Do me a favor.
Maybe.
Lighten this stuff up, man.
I mean, let me see what I have on jump ball. Ooh, it's real serious.
Yeah, I'm done with serious stuff.
I don't know, man.
Greg, I'm ready with whatever direction you want to go.
This is I'm all serious. So it's all fun.
Everything
lighten
here
up.
Is super
lighten
serious.
Up, people. Lighten up. All right, we'll do that coming up next for you. Jump ball, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Appreciate you, Chris. All right, so you know what? Because of what you said, Mace, I'll go with something a little bit
lighter. Yeah, go with something
lighter.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a couple lighter ones and some not so light. Do all either right. of you know who Mr. Beast is?
I do not.
John?
Me either. No.
So he may be one of the biggest YouTube stars at the moment. He gives hundreds of thousands of dollars away all the time, sometimes for no reason at all. He's also currently trying to clean up the ocean with every dollar donated to TeamSeas.org. We'll clean up 1 pound of trash from the ocean, which is very, very cool.
That seems nice.
Well, his newest venture that he's doing is to create a real-life Squid Game. Without the death, of course. The amount of money given away on Squid Game was about $40 million.
Wow.
American dollars. I'm not sure if he's going to give away the $40 million, but it wouldn't surprise me. But would you do a real-life Squid Game?
All right,
if it
for
was?
People who haven't seen Squid Game, which includes me, explain what you're proposing.
So Squid Game is about a bunch of people that are in massive debt, and the people at Squid Game basically put them in children's games. It's red light, green light. It's just a bunch of kids' games that
and
you
when
play.
They lose, they die.
Yeah, when
they
you
win,
lose,
they
you
get
die.
Their debt paid off.
Yes, exactly. So would you do this for $40 million?
Well, now, Ireland, you probably don't have any. Well, you probably owe money on your house, right?
It doesn't have to be for debt.
Yeah,
it
course.
Could just be for fun.
Why not? If I'm not going to die, I'd compete. Sure. What the heck? What I have to lose, right?
Yeah. Who is this? Is it like some multimillionaire who's just giving away money on his YouTube channel?
No. Yeah. So go to Mr. Beast. I'm telling you, this guy will do basically. He does all these random things. Like if you, he gives away like for $1. If you walk into this house, he'll give you the entire house for $1. He just walks up to people and gives like $10,000.
Really?
Guess this, $10,000. Yeah.
Ooh,
right.
To
go to Mr. Beast. It's unbelievable.
Oh, by the way, let me get this in, Greg. Somebody, one of our listeners just said, no talented Mr. Roeder today. That is correct. Matthew Berry got called into a meeting, so we're going to pick up with Matthew again a week from today.
Yes.
He's just going to miss this 1 week. Sorry about that, Greg. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. So yeah, that's basically all he does. He just gives money away. Check out his YouTube. It's
I feel like
incredible.
I should really watch Squid Game so I understand what the hell's going on because it was a big phenomenon. Is it over or is there going to be Squid Game 2?
Well, but it's on Netflix. You can watch it anytime.
Yeah, 7 episodes. It's not like it's a lot of episodes.
Okay.
1 hour each. It's, it's pretty brutal.
It's pretty brutal. Nice.
All right. So we talked yesterday about Buster Posey retiring and we all thought that he is a Hall of Famer. And I still do. You still
slammed
do.
Slam dunk.
But former Mets GM Steve Phillips pointed out that Jorge Posada of the New York Yankees got less than 5% of the vote and was taken off the ballot after 1 year. He had 117 more home runs, 336 more RBIs, and had 5 rings to Posey's 3 and was better in the postseason. Why is Posey in your mind and not Posada?
Because the Giants had a long, long history of losing before Posey got there. And Posey's biggest value, Greg, may have been his pitch framing for those pitchers. He won 3 different World Series with really 3 different... Madison Bumgarner was the horse, but he had 3 different pitching staffs, Mace. So I think he's getting credit for his winning... And I think he's getting credit for his defense and pitch framing. And not that Posada wasn't great at those things, but Posada had to compete on a team with Jeter
Correct.
And Clemens and Andy Pettit. And Buster arguably was the best player on those Giants
teams. Yeah, that's the difference. Is Jorge Posada wasn't the best player on those Yankees teams, and Buster Posey was the best player on a 3-time world championship team. So I think that's the difference between Posada and Posey. It's still amazing, retiring at the age of 34 years old. Good for him. Man, they call him the tools of ignorance. You get beat up when you're a catcher. I don't blame the guy for stepping away after the successful career and all the money he's made and the world championships, World Series rings, all that stuff. I don't blame him for stepping away.
Laura, you got something?
I do. You know what? I was just told that I got to do one, and I'm down to do one.
Cool.
So
throw me on the bus.
I mean, every chance I get, man. All right, guys. So I was thinking about this because I am a picky eater. I'm allergic to peanuts. And sometimes when I order food, it's not, you know, given to me how I ordered it. So I was wondering, how many times is it okay, if any, to send your food back and say, sorry, this isn't what I ordered?
Huh. Well, it depends how you do it, Laura.
Okay.
If you're condescending and you say, this is not what I ordered.
Oh, I don't do that.
Give me, but if you say, if you come at the wait staff with, hey, can you do me a huge favor? This is just a little bit undercooked. Could you ask them to cook it a little bit more for me? Would that be a problem? And they'll say, of course not, you know, happy to do it. And I think a lot, Mace, is in the messenger as well as the message. Mm-hmm. If you never want to send a strict order or a mean order to a waiter back to the kitchen, because you never know what they'll do to your food.
Oh, yeah, they're going to hack in your food.
But if you, I think if you come at them nicely and you say, hey, or like, you know, if they, let's say you order scrambled eggs and they bring you poached eggs, would it be a huge problem if I could get these scrambled? And most restaurants worth their salt are happy to take care of you. And if you do it that way, Laura, I think you can do it as many times as you want. Just kill them with kindness. It's how you treat the people, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine to send your food back. I'm not a big send your food back guy. Like, the steak is, I want it medium rare. It comes out medium. I'm like, whatever. You know, I'll take it. So I'm not necessarily that guy. I do think that people who send their food back a lot, and I know somebody who sends their food back a lot, they are genuinely a pain in the ass. and by the way, it's
Mace, doesn't Bergman strike you as the type of guy who would send his food back a lot?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
absolutely not. There's no way. I will eat whatever is on that plate, even if I don't like it.
Beans.
No, I mean, if they put beans on there after I ask for no beans, I'm still going to eat it.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
I will not say anything. I was a server for a long time. God. I will not send anything back ever. I actually hate it. I hate when I do it. People force me, like, send it back. I'm like, no, it's fine. I'll eat it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm that guy too. I'll just go along and eat it, and I won't be the guy who complains. But I the people who ask the questions, is there mayonnaise in that? Is there... Now, you're allergic to peanuts, so that's a legitimate thing. But what happens when you eat a peanut?
I will die.
You will not die.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I will.
A friend of mine at...
One peanut, you will die?
A friend of mine at KCAL had a nut allergy, ate something with a nut in it, and he is no longer with us.
No, seriously?
Yeah. 10, 15 years ago. Died.
Oh, my God. I would be scared to eat anything.
Well, no, that's why, Laura, you always have to ask, right? Are there nuts in it?
I always have. It's just peanuts, which is weird, and I carry an EpiPen.
The girl who sits next to me on the Laker plane has a nut allergy. She has to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize you could just go based on one
that's
peanut.
That's a thing.
So
that's
your life, thing. You're just a peanut away.
Yeah, I mean, I found out the hard way because I ate something super tiny with a peanut and I had to get rushed to the hospital and get an EpiPen.
Wow.
And all that stuff. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Yeah. So that's for real. Yeah. So I understand the questions but I'm not a big send your food back guy.
All right. Dan Orlovsky was on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week and said that right now, Patrick Mahomes has the worst mechanics in the NFL. I mean, has he ever really had good mechanics, though?
No, that's one of the things that make him unique is that he'll throw from any imaginable arm angle. I've seen him throw submarine passes, underarm basically, and whip it. So if you're looking for a guy with perfect mechanics, you can go to Josh Allen or Trevor Lawrence. If you want somebody, you can get the ball there 20 different ways. You go to Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he has been doing is clearly not working. You know, has the league caught up to him? Is he just having a bad year? Is there some sort of injury? He's not the Patrick Mahomes we've seen the last few years. He's not Superman. So maybe it is that the league has figured out all these goofy passes that he throws and they're able to defend them better. But something, I mean, I guess you do need mechanics at some point if you're going to be a traditional drop-back quarterback, which it sounds like Mahomes needs to be more of. I don't know what's wrong with Mahomes, but I've now come to believe – I always thought Kansas City is going to make the playoffs no matter what. I think they've got a really tall mountain to climb if they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they're not – it's not impossible, but it's not likely either.
Yeah,
they're right
exactly.
On the bubble.
All right, that'll do it.
I don't feel like you lighten things up at all.
I can do something else. I got one more, but I was going to save it for tomorrow.
Is it fun?
I mean, it's a movie pitch bot game.
Movie what?
A movie pitch bot.
Okay, do it.
Okay, we'll put the music back up, please.
Like a well-oiled machine.
You like it? So a movie pitch bot on Twitter has some ideas for movies. All they do is they just put out random people in different scenarios, and you have to say whether you like the movie or not.
Okay.
Jennifer Lawrence, Jude Law, and Will Ferrell are in a love triangle in this Darren Aronofsky dramedy. Are you in or out?
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Those people.
Yeah, Darren Aronofsky's fantastic, so I'm sure it would be edgy and cool. Sign me up for that. I'm good.
All right, so Matt Damon, Naomi Watts, Liam Neeson, and Uma Thurman must overcome their differences in this Patty Jenkins movie set entirely inside a bus.
No, done. No, inside a bus, no way. Boring,
wait, they're all
dull.
Inside a bus, and wait, Michael just walked in.
Yeah. Hey, Michael!
Perfect timing, Michael.
I'll lighten the mood for you guys. Got a joke for you.
Okay.
Okay.
I can only imagine.
I'm going to go into showbiz, boys. Ask me what as.
What as?
A COVID mask covered ventriloquist.
How would that work?
You'd never see my lips move.
It would be easy.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that...
That would be such an easy job.
Right.
You don't even need to be a ventriloquist.
I could use Trudell as my dummy.
By the way, Michael, Trudell's birthday today.
I know, he's 50. Can you believe that, Laker fans? Mike Trudell, a Laker sideline reporter, is 50.
He's not
50 years old? No, he looks great for 50.
How old is he?
Not 50.
But what is he? That's what they said.
He's almost...
Michael, you're that dumb. You believe that?
I did, because he was in college a long time ago. What is he there, 40-something?
He's 40 today.
Oh, 40.
40 on the nose?
Well,
I couldn't believe it because he looks like he should still be at Northwestern.
Exactly.
So young.
Yeah, he looks like a kid. Still looks like a kid.
He does.
All right, Michael, you going to hang out a little bit?
Yeah, I got a game of games.
Nice. We got a game of games from Michael coming up in this next hour. Plus, lie of the day, there is going to be a lie, or there has been a lie, that I have told during the course of this show. And if you figure it out and you call in at 3:30 and you know it, it's Lakers Ticket Thursday. You want tickets to see Lakers versus Charlotte Monday night at Staples Center. That's LaMelo Ball. And a $50 gift card to Wingstop, plus a Vote for Jorge t-shirt, all if you know the lie at 3:30 today. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.